Hey guys, it's Mark.
And I'm Charity.
And welcome to the Case Watch Podcast.
Case Watch deals with content meant for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Case
Watch. Confirming the body found in Grand Teton National Park is Gabby Petito, and she was killed.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Late today, Chris Watts was officially charged with the murders of his wife and his two young girls.
Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, you heard that. That's called audio, guys. I actually finally had a chance to clip some audio.
That is awesome. We finally got our douches.
I have a delectable amount of douche on the board here.
Wonderful.
A douche bag.
That one's really good, too. They're all... Oh, my.
I have one that has nothing to do with douche bags or any of that stuff. But, and it wasn't even... It's this person left comments that were douche bag. And they're in this board, too. But they had this one comment that I absolutely love that I'm going to play for you right now. It's probably my favorite piece of audio we've gotten on this show. Ready?
Yep.
Illinois. S is silent.
S is silent.
I absolutely love that.
I love it.
I mean, somebody should probably tell her that Illinois has an S.
It does not, Mark. You get yourself in big trouble with this kind of stuff.
I have fun doing it. What can I say?
Well, I mean, I don't know. What can you say?
I can say we had a whole bunch of new stuff to put out here on the board today, so I'm super excited. And I accidentally just turned the TV on. Sorry, guys. I don't know what I was doing there.
I didn't even know because I have the headphones on. All of a sudden, this noise was coming through.
Sorry, guys. I hit the wrong button sometimes, and I don't know what to say.
It happens.
It does. How has your week been, Miss Charity?
My week has been good. I would love to thank the creeps for being so kind and listening to Below the Fin.
You said that she had a quite the little uptick, so that's good.
She did, and the creeps were so kind to listen in, even though it may not have been, may not be their particular genre. But the one thing I've heard everyone say who's listened to it is that they love Lexi's voice.
Yeah, she has a good cadence to her voice.
She's got a nice, calming voice. So thanks, guys.
She gets bored. She can come in here and fill in if you're not ever available.
There you go.
Whoop, whoop.
whoop.
Real quick, want to spotlight a little bit of a case that's going on that Joellen put in the Case Watch Crime Creep group, which we appreciate. The best group on the internet.
Best group ever.
Case Watch Crime Creeps on Facebook. Join the fun.
You guys are missing out if you're not in it.
And there's a lot of people in it, so I'm not sure how many are actually missing out.
So fun.
All right, so this was not a story that I was aware of until I saw this come up in the group, and I've been kind of following a little bit, but I want to read you just this little article that was released just the other day, actually yesterday from when we're recording, in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. Two Rivers Police announced an update on Monday that a red and white plaid blanket that was previously found in Manitowoc County is connected to the missing child, Elijah View. The blanket was found on Goodwin Road east of County Road B in Manitowoc County. It was located 3.7 miles from the 3900 block of Mishicot Road in the city of Two Rivers, where Elijah was reported missing on February 20th. More community search efforts are planned this week for missing three-year-old Elijah View. It's been nearly a month since he was reported missing from Two Rivers. I can't even imagine, Charity.
So sick to my stomach.
Beside myself. I can't even imagine that feeling.
Things like this. I mean, I'm so glad we're sharing it, you know, because like we said, you never know, right? I didn't know about it.
Nope.
Now I do.
Here's the thing that I think people do not give enough credence to, and it's happened to all of us at one time or another. And if you say it hasn't happened to you, then you're lying. And I just gotta say it that way. All of us who have kids have lost track of our kids a time or two.
Yep.
And then found them relatively quickly, whether they walk away at the store, which kids do.
Or go underneath the little, like, where the, all the shirts are hanging or something.
Or somebody, yeah, somebody takes a nap and they go outside for a minute. Like, stuff happens. Yep. It really does. That feeling when you first notice, like, I remember being younger and looking over and be like, oh, where's my kid?
Yeah.
And then you start looking and she's like in the aisle next to you. And it's just like, you don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Like, but it happens.
Your heart drops.
So they have all had to figure, you know, and feel this feeling as well. But they didn't have that relief that immediately came after. Now imagine this feeling.
No.
As you get into, now 5 minutes goes by, 6 minutes, 6 hours.
So sad.
24 hours.
I can't even.
7 days, 30 days. Like, this is unbelievable feeling. So my heart goes out to all of these people that this happens to.
Me too.
Elijah's aunt, Linda View, posted on Facebook about more volunteer search efforts. Tuesday searchers will meet at Deja Vu at 9:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. On Wednesday, groups will meet at the Milkadow Theater in Manitowoc at the same times. Friday and Saturday, search volunteers can meet at the theater again at 9:30 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. Thursday and Sunday, volunteers are taking a break. The reward for any information that leads to Elijah is now up to $40,000. If you or anybody you know have any information about Elijah or where he could be or maybe who has him, call 844-267-6648. That's 844-267-6648. You may also submit information to the Manitowoc County Crime Stoppers P3 app, and we will definitely keep people updated on this case as well.
So sad.
I can't imagine. I just, oh, my insides just start to absolutely turn whenever I hear of a story like that.
It's bad enough when anybody goes missing, but a child like that is, that's absolutely horrific.
And look at this kid. He's just like the kid next door.
He's adorable. He's absolutely gorgeous.
By kid next door, I mean kid like that could live next
door. That you'd see running around next door, yeah.
My kid next door is 80 and rides around on a scooter, and his name is Dawn.
Oh, he's so cute.
And he's great.
It's too cold for him to be out today, I think. It's a little chilly.
He was on the back porch drinking beer when I came in the house.
Nice.
He
yelled over,
"What's up, Mark?" I said, "Not much, Dawn."
Oh, he likes beer?
Yes.
A little too much.
He no longer drives.
Oh, so whatever. He's not hurting anyone.
So now I'll be sitting here and I can't say the names of the liquor stores because then it will really tell everybody where I live. But it's just like I see one that I know is like a mile down the road. The van pull in and then like an hour later, I'll see a different one.
What? Isn't he used?
A different beer store.
Oh, that he gets delivery?
Yeah, he delivers. Right? All these alcohol package stores deliver now.
That's awesome.
It's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, they just sit over there and do it. And he just sits over there. And I think he likes, oh, I wish I could remember what it is. And I buy it from him from time to time. It's like old person beer, like old Milwaukee or something. It's old people beer. Do you remember like hearing beer names and all that stuff or cigarette names that don't longer, you know, no longer exist?
Yes.
Like, some of them probably do. Pall Mall, you know, Tarrington, Benson and Hedges. Like, come on. Wild Horse. All the old stuff. Probably the good stuff, actually.
Maybe.
And people who are curious about the Mark update, this is now entering middle of week 3. Still no soda.
I'm so proud of you, Mark.
Look at me. I want to turn sideways.
I know.
You can still
you're
see me.
You're disappearing. I just made that up again, too. Well, I make words up on here all the time.
Hold on. Uh-oh. I have a new, let's see.
Oh, jeez.
That's randomly.
I'm scared.
I'm going to hit the button to douche. We're going to do
douchebag.
We're doing that one today.
Love it. So the creeps in the crime creep chat that we have going on in Messenger have been talking about the disappearance of Riley Strain.
Yes.
So I thought we would just talk about that a little bit. This comes from News Nation. I'm just going to read it what it pretty much tells the timeline a little bit. It says a Missouri family continues to hold out hope that their 22-year-old son will return home safely after he disappeared while on a trip earlier this month to Nashville, Tennessee. Must have been for spring break.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. University of Missouri student Riley Strain was in Music City for a fraternity conference with his Delta Chi fraternity brothers. I'm sorry, guys. On March 8th, when he went missing after he was asked to leave Luke Bryan's bar. Luke, 30, 32 Bridge in Nashville. Although some cameras captured the soon-to-be graduate making... Oh, that's sad. He's soon to graduate. Making his way through downtown, heading toward the Metro Courthouse, his family explained there are gaps in cameras pointed in the wrong direction that make it hard to know exactly where to look for Strain. Here's a look at the timeline of events following Strain's disappearance, including the efforts to find him and bring him home safely. March 8th, 2024, 9:35 p.m., Strain was kicked out of the bar. In a statement, the TC Restaurant Group, which owns and operates the bar, said its security team made a decision based on our conduct standards to escort him from the venue through a Broadway exit at the front of our building. The TC Restaurant Group said Strain was asked to leave after only being served one alcoholic drink and two waters. He was followed down the stairs with one of his friends, according to the bar. However, his friend reportedly did not exit and returned upstairs. Strain's stepfather, Chris Whiteed, I don't know if I'm saying that right, guys, said one of Strain's friends attempted to leave the bar with him, but the security team would not let him out at that point. That's strange. Riley Strain, 22, was last seen at Luke's 32 Bridge on Broadway in Nashville, Tennessee on March 8, 2023. He was last seen wearing a black and white collared shirt, blue jeans, and brown shoes. 9:46 p.m., surveillance video from downtown Smoke and Bake Shop on Church Street caught Riley stumbling and falling in a parking lot at 3rd Avenue and Church Street. 9:47 p.m., surveillance video caught Strain crossing 1st Avenue north to Gay Street. 9:52 p.m., body cam footage shows Strain having a brief exchange with Nashville officer Reginald Young on Gay Street south of the Woodland Street Bridge, according to police. No video of him has been seen after this point. 10:15 p.m., Whiteheat pings Strain's phone. It shows it is located in the opposite direction of the hotel near James Robinson Parkway in Gay Street. Detectives claim the last phone conversation Strain had with one of his friends was also around this time. What happened to Riley Strain? March 9th, 2024, Strain's friend called 911 after saying he went to the Central Police Precinct and called the sheriff's office to file a missing persons report. Strain's family from Springfield, Missouri, drove down to Nashville as soon as they got a call from his fraternity brothers about his disappearance. March 11, 2024, the Metro Nashville Police Department posted on X saying it is still working to locate Strain and asking the public for tips. Police checked hospitals and jails with no luck. Whiteheat said Strain had been on the same trip before with no issues and would normally talk to his family three or four times a day. March 12, 2024, Strain's family joined authorities in a search along the Cumberland River, which was less than half a mile from where his phone last pinged. However, nothing was found. Benton McDowell, the director of the Mayor's Office of Nightlife, released a statement urging visitors to be mindful of their surroundings and to know your limits when it comes to alcohol intake. The TC Restaurant Group operator and owner of Brian's Bar also released a statement updating the public on its own involvement in the search, which I'm not going to read that. March 13th, 2024, Metro Nashville Police Department released surveillance video showing Strain crossing 1st Avenue north to Gay Street. This is the last time the 22-year-old was seen on video. The Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission also announced that it has opened an investigation into the matter. Nashville's Office of Emergency Management Group searched the riverbank using sonar equipment, still finding nothing. Family and friends gathered for a vigil to pray for Strain's safe return. March 14th, 2024, the MNPD's Urban Search and Rescue Team continued searching the area around Strain's last known location near the Cumberland River. This is also sad, guys. He has not been found up to this point. The creeps have been talking. A couple of them said, earlier, he was seen on surveillance cameras, like right before he walked into the bar, and he seemed perfectly fine. And then when he went in the bar, he only had one drink. Did someone put something in his drink? Was he drugged? All of a sudden, he became belligerent after one drink and two waters. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Has there been activity on any of his
I don't know where this information came from, because I personally didn't read it. But I'm going to go into Messenger right here. So, hold on 1 second. It's very, very sad, all of it. So, Casey said, I saw yesterday some girls went over the wall where his phone last pinged and searched. They found his debit card. So I still think he fell over the wall and into the river. But I'm confused as to why the searchers didn't find, or were they part of the.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Search and they found it. I don't know. And then she also said what I was thinking. I also wonder if his drink was spiked. They say it's really common on Broadway in Nashville.
I can't stand people that would do something like that.
I hope not. Casey also said one of the videos showed him running and falling, almost looked like he hit his head on the pole. After that, he was stumbling pretty bad. So I wonder if he was drugged. She said the same thing. And Rhonda said she saw the same thing as well and also thinks he was drugged. And also, here's my thing too. The whole drinking thing, right?
Yep.
He was about to graduate. He's been in a fraternity since he started college. Those guys know their limits. I'm not saying that he could have gone past his limits, because that is absolutely possible. But listening to his father, it kind of sounds like he's a guy who kind of pays attention to his surroundings and pays attention to what he's doing, especially if he's been there before, right?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, and if they do find him, which, guys, it's sad, but I don't know how they're going to find him, but I hope they find him.
But we still hope, yeah.
We hope they find him. And I hope the family gets some answers, because this is a parent's worst nightmare, just like the story you just read, right? This kid, raised him up to this point. This is the best year of his life. He's going to be graduating college, moving on to, you know, better things in life, and goes and has a blast in Nashville. And then this happens. It's just, and even worse, being the parent watching your child on surveillance like that is, I can't even imagine what you're thinking. Eerie is a good word for it. And you know, people are going to say, just like all the other stories, he shouldn't have been alone. You never leave alone. You wait for your friends. I get it, right?
Stuff happens, though.
Stuff happens, and, you know, people get caught up in situations. Maybe more than one of his friends was there with him and didn't even know he got kicked out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why they wouldn't have let the friend go with him. That was a weird statement. What they said, that the bar said that the friend couldn't leave the bar.
Yeah, something doesn't add
that's
up.
That's not
right there.
That seems a little odd. I'm not blaming the bar.
Money, maybe he.
Oh, maybe didn't have he money did. To pay maybe the they stopped him to go because he had to pay the tab.
There could be a bunch of different.
We're going to keep up with this. Crime Creeps, please keep talking about this, because honestly, I didn't know much about this story until I saw that you guys were talking about it in the chat. So
it's one of the things that help us here. That the whole group in the chat and all that stuff. Even though I don't respond in the chat as much as I probably should, I read everything.
Oh, yeah.
I always check through there and look at stuff. Everybody's busy.
Absolutely.
It's my busy time of year. Everyone always thinks like, oh, Mark must love like off season because it's great. No, I'm twice as busy right now and it stinks. But we're here on a Tuesday to record for you creeps. That's
and tell you some horrible things like we always do.
I got something fun, though.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me find a funny one. Let's see here. Do, 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 do. I don't remember which one is which. Oh, do you want to check the microphones?
Okay. Press it, Mark. Testicles. 1, 2, 3. I can't believe he put that on his board, guys. That's what I do every. I have some go-tos, as we know, the floss, which I haven't flossed. I haven't flossed in a little while, which is odd.
Kristen tried to floss the other day. I was like, no, you're not Charity. You got to stop.
Yeah,
that.
The flossing is a good one. That whenever we warm up, that is my go-to, guys. Guys, you know, we might need a special douche for this one.
I have a bunch of them to choose from.
Walter Kopp sent this little not so gem to me of this really oh, I don't know. I'm just going to read it.
Now I'm excited to hear.
It's from Newsbreak. Ohio mom who left toddler alone for 10 days when she went on vacation pleads guilty to aggravated murder.
Hold on. I'm going to find one of these right now.
Frickin' douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one for this
that
one.
That fits this.
I wanted a not cute douche.
Yes.
Like some of the triple D's can be a cute douchebag because they're still douchebags, but they're just like stupid douchebags.
Oh, yeah.
This one is, ugh. Ugh. An Ohio mother who's 16 months old, guys. She had to go on vacation. Okay?
Mm.
Let me just calm down for a minute.
Mm. I'm doing it because she knows all the douches that are in the board, and that's one of them.
An Ohio mother whose 16-month-old daughter died after being left home alone in a playpen for 10 days last summer while she went on vacation was sentenced Monday to life in prison with no chance of parole.
Douche canoe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Guys, keep the douches coming. 603-212-4600.
Crystal Candelario, 32, had pleaded guilty last month to aggravated murder and child endangerment as part of a plea deal with Cuyahoga County prosecutors. Did I say that right?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Two murder counts and a felonious assault charge. I do enjoy the word felonious. It almost sounds dirty.
It sounds like baloney to me.
Authorities have said Candelario left her daughter, Jalen, in their Cleveland home when she went on vacation to Detroit and Puerto Rico in June of 2023.
Yeah.
When she returned 10 days later, she found the girl was not breathing in the playpen and called 911. Oh, now you're calling 911? Ugh. Emergency responders found the child was extremely dehydrated. Of course she was, and pronounced her dead shortly after they arrived. I could throw up right now.
Right.
Your only job in the world when you have a child is to protect that child.
That's literally all you have to do.
An autopsy by the Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner's Office determined that the toddler died of starvation and severe dehydration. That is a horrible, horrible way to die.
Ugh.
This is where I'm like, bring an eye for an eye.
Yep.
That's how she should freaking die.
I'm down with this.
Yep. County Common Pleas Court Judge Brendan Sheehan told Candelario she committed, quote, the ultimate betrayal by leaving her daughter alone without food. Just as you didn't let Jalen out of her confinement, so too you should spend the rest of your life in a cell without freedom, Sheehan said. The only difference will be the prison will at least feed you and give you liquid that you denied her. Gross. This woman. Ugh.
I say we take it away.
Candelario, who has struggled with depression and related mental health issues, said she has prayed daily for forgiveness. There's so much pain that I have in regards to the loss of my baby. No, to the murder of your baby. You murdered your baby. You did not lose your baby. You knew where your baby was.
This made a conscious decision to leave her kid home and go on vacation.
She murdered her. The loss of my baby?
Yeah.
No. Your baby was not lost. You could have made one little phone call as you were backing out of your driveway, going on vacation. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm having a mental break. Can you go call the neighbor, knock on the door? I'm sorry. I need help. Right.
I'm
not even going to read her statement. How's that?
That's even better. There is absolutely zero. I don't care mental illness or not. There is absolutely zero for you to leave a kid home by themselves.
Well, for her
and
to
take
say
off, because you could literally, if you don't want that kid, drop it off at any fire station in the country.
Yes. Safe
Bring
haven.
It to an emergency room.
Yes.
And just say, I can't do this.
Yep.
Do the right thing. Instead of being a scumbag.
Freaking douchebag.
Yep.
Give your kid up if you don't want to raise them.
Yep.
Let somebody foster that kid and bring that kid to the next generation. Instead, you take off and go on vacation and leave the kid home. I have zero respect for this.
And clearly, if she's stating I have suffered with depression, this, that, and the other thing. Okay, so you're self-aware of your condition.
100%.
Okay? If you're that depressed that you are leaving your child because you need a break, as I understand 100% that could happen to people, and that is not what I am upset with. What I'm upset with is make a phone call. Drop the child off at a hospital, at a fire department. There are so many other avenues that could have been. What do you think was going to happen when you leave a child that you cannot care for that cannot care for themselves by themselves alone in a playpen.
Here's my problem. People can say and use mental illness on this one all they want, except she had enough mental acuity to book travel plans.
Yes.
Figure out a way to go for a week.
Yep.
And take off. Like, cause if you can do that, you can remember to say like, oh yeah, my kid can't feed himself.
Yeah. To think of the torture that child went through.
I don't even want to.
Disgusting.
I want to have somebody in the fine establishment behind bars throat punch her.
Oh no, she'll be in protective custody probably because, you know, we don't want her to get hurt.
I do.
I know you do. Whatever.
And that's the bottom line.
Yes, it is, Mark. You are correct.
Yes. Well, having fun with my buttons.
He has some other buttons that he was pressing earlier, guys, that I did not consent to.
Once it was said through the microphone, it's free game.
So just, whatever, Mark. You're not going to ever have any of my biscuits then.
That was an outtake from a while ago. We played that one before, though.
I can't.
I can't play the other one. That one's too mean.
No, yes. But it's on the board. It's
yes, sir.
Yeah, it's so mean. But how did it end up on the board on a button, guys?
Jumped on there.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to get into the case we have today.
Yes.
This case was sent to us by the lovely Melissa Hunt. Okay. When she heard us talking about the case where the couple that went missing from their boat, the Simplicity, a few episodes back, it made her think of this case. And that's why she sent it to us. And guys, it is, to say it's bizarre is, well, it's bizarre. It's senseless, as, you know, they all are. I don't know. I'm going to get going
because
I tried
reacting.
To say something. Mark wanted to know what the title was going to be. And so he's like, just give me the name of the person that's responsible for. And I said, well, the name changes. So I don't know what name to put.
So now I'm really
excited. But I didn't want to get into it because I wanted him to hear this firsthand.
Good. You guys joined with me.
Thomas Hawks met his second wife, Jackie Hawks, when his sons from his first marriage were just children. They fell in love and got married, having a Hawaiian-themed wedding. Jackie was happy to help raise his boys as her own. In fact, when Jackie had heard that the oldest son and his wife were expecting their first child, she embraced the news, excited to have her first grandchild. I don't know where Thomas's first wife fit into this scenario, but sounds like Thomas and Jackie were very in love and both so happy to have the family they had and excited about their future. With grandchildren and all, right?
Yep.
Thomas was a retired, which people probably called him Tom or Tommy, but I'm using his given name because I don't know. I don't really know what his friends called him, but Thomas was a retired probation officer and he was very into bodybuilding. This dude was jacked, guys.
Me too, can't you tell?
Absolutely. I was going to say that about you. I was going to ask you where the gun show was.
It's over there.
He just did the thing, guys. The two worked very hard raising the family, their family.
Hold on.
Oh,
that's what she said.
Oh my God. Oh, Mark. The two worked very hard raising the family and saved enough money to be able to retire early and buy a 55-foot yacht that they named Well Deserved. They used their yacht as their home for 2 full years traveling the Pacific Ocean in the Gulf of California. After they got all the traveling out of their system, they decided to sell their yacht in 2004. Their plan was to take the money from the sale of the yacht and move to Newport Harbor, where they would be closer to their grandchildren. That makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
So,
biggest thing in my life that bothers me is that my grandkids are almost 4 hours away.
Mark,
yes.
Can you please do your close your eyes and paint the picture of what these two looked like before you even see them and like what their life was like?
Why, sure. I would love to do that. All right.
Mark, the people love when you do this, when I'm telling my stories and I say names like, you know, like a Helen or something. And then you close your eyes and you say, I picture Helen being about 5'2", curly hair. This is what you do, Mark. This is your thing.
This is my thing.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a little local centric to where I grew up. But if anybody has Animal Planet, then they've had the opportunity to see this show as well. So they have the Warden show, Game Warden show.
Oh, yeah.
That used to be on TV. And there was a guy on there named Eric Hannett, and he retired. And that's who I picture that this gentleman looks like.
Okay.
And Eric's wife is a complete smoke show.
Oh.
So I'm thinking she looks that way, too.
Okay. I like it.
He retired from being an officer, and now they actually bought a ship, and they started a YouTube channel and they traveled the world on it. And now they gave up on that and they're back here. But that part doesn't matter. But that's who I picture these people look at it. Go look this guy up, you know, and
all right,
go follow their YouTube channel too.
All I'm going to say is they were the American dream, right?
No.
Found love.
No. That's Cody Rhodes' dad. Oh, my American dream.
Oh, my guys. Whatever. He automatically goes to wrestling.
Automatically goes to it. Like, it's a thing that happens. I know. It's the one thing I love more than anything in the world.
Let's continue on, Mark, and find out what's going
to
happen.
I have to let everybody know what just happened there. So Charity had to take care of some business on her cell phone. So we stopped. And I always give her a different count. And people know this, where if I do the, you know, roll that beautiful bean footage or whatever. Or as of today, I just got her. I went, and she's looking at me like, will you just stop?
And then he tells me things like, nope, you started too soon. Nope, you didn't start. Nope. We got to go back. And it's his fault because it was pointed that he uses.
And
Okay. I'm doing it. So this lovely couple is ready to sell their yacht. They got some advertisements together, hoping to get a buyer, hoping it was going to be a quick sale so they could move on to the next part of their life, which was to be close to their children and their grandkids. Sounds like a great idea.
I just won $5.
Nice.
Sorry.
A scratch ticket. See, guys, there was like a red ball in the room and he just, you know, I think he's listening, but sometimes he's not.
I'm 100% listening. I am a multitasker. I work in TV. This is what we do.
Guys, I won $50 on a $2 scratch ticket the other day and I never ever buy scratch tickets and I never win on scratch tickets. So I was pretty excited about that. But that's just a little side note. Anyway, in November, they got a call from someone named Skylar DeLeon.
I kind of like that name.
They were iffy about Skylar, wondering if he was really interested in buying their boat or if it was a scam. They set up a meeting when Skylar showed up with his pregnant wife, Jennifer, and another child. They were relieved to see that it was normal. Little family simply interested in living on a boat. Totally normal, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Let's just say the couple should have listened to their instincts because the last time Thomas and Jackie were seen was on November 15th, 2004, in the morning. They were seen in their yacht heading out of the harbor. Or the yacht was seen with them in it. Okay?
Yep.
The yacht returned, but they never did. Let's get into what may have happened to the couple. Family and friends started to notice that they couldn't get a hold of Thomas or Jackie and no calls were ever returned. It was like they had disappeared. Thinking positively, family and friends thought, even though it wasn't like them, maybe, just maybe, they took off for one last trip before the yacht was sold and, you know, they settled down to be with their grandkids. Jim Hawks, Thomas's older brother, became concerned enough to make a call to the authorities and report them missing. This was also around the same time that it looked like someone tried to use the Hawks bank account yet couldn't get in. Jim was a former police chief and knew for sure something was wrong. It's just his instincts kicked in, you know, plus it was his family member and it was totally unlike them to not return phone call. Mascara's in the room, by the way.
Yeah, she's just knocked the door in.
Yeah. Anyways, it was totally uncharacteristic of this couple to, they stayed very connected to their loved ones. So this was very, very strange. Something was wrong, okay? Authorities searched the yacht for anything that might lead them to the missing couple. Unfortunately, there really wasn't anything found on the yacht. The only thing they found was a fingerprint that looked as if it could have possibly been made with blood. Clearly, the couple had lots of loved ones wanting to know where they were, right? And could that have been a bloody fingerprint? But they, unfortunately, besides that, quote unquote, maybe bloody fingerprint, there was no other evidence on the yacht that could have possibly gave them any indication of what happened to this couple. That's, excuse me, sorry. That's, that's horrible, right? Imagine being the loved ones. Okay, somebody tells you we think we might have found a bloody fingerprint. You know what I mean? That makes you feel very unsettled.
Oh, 100%.
And unfortunately, guys, the fingerprint was analyzed and it turned out to be rust, not blood.
That's good.
So now they had nothing, though, right?
Yep.
The next step for the authorities was clear. They needed to question the said people that bought the yacht from the couple. Let's hear a little about the couple. Okay. Skylar Preciosa de Leon was born John, pay attention, Mark, was born John Julius Jacobson Jr.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Okay. We will get into the name / gender change later. We are going to go by their last name just because it is easier, so we know who we are talking about. And we're going to use they or them, all right? Because
sure,
it's just easier.
Okay.
Until later in the story when we actually find out the real situation. De Leon was a former child actor. They were in some commercials, but their biggest break, Mark, was when they got cast as an extra in the show, The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I remember that show.
And when I say big break, De Leon was just pretty much only an extra and nothing else. So the acting career really wasn't a big thing, guys.
How much of a big break was that?
No. When De Leon was 20 years old, they enlisted into the Marine Corps, but only lasted 15 days. They were later given an other than honorable discharge. I asked Miss Wiki what this was, and here is what she had to say. She said it represents a significant departure from the conduct and performance expected of all military members and is issued for more serious misconduct, such as assault or trouble with the authorities or drug issues. It sounds like De Leon had some issues going on even at a younger age. Maybe they enlisted because they thought it might help to straighten them up and get them on the right track. I don't know. De Leon's wife at the time of the disappearance of the Hawks was Jennifer Lynn Henderson. There wasn't much I could find about her earlier life, but meeting De Leon. So didn't really like say like how they met, what her earlier life was like. I couldn't really dig up too much on that. It was just basically this whole story of what took place. She was, although, a big person of interest in the couple's disappearance. On November 29th, the police took De Leon in for an interview. They showed the police a purchase and sales agreement saying that they bought the boat from the Hawks. De Leon went on to say there was a witness named Alonzo Machain. So now they're introducing other people into the situation. They said Machain was there at the time of the purchase and was also witness to the Hawks driving off in their car. This next part of the interview is going to get very interesting.
I love it when you say that. Interesting. You haven't said that for a while.
At first, De Leon said that the $750,000 he had to purchase the yacht was money that he saved from all of his amazing acting when he was younger. Wow. Clearly, that was a lie. De Leon went on to tell the police that the boat was purchased so they could use it to launder money they stole from a burglary in 2002, an armed incident that De Leon had already been convicted of. Why would you tell the police that?
Because usually if you're going to quote unquote possibly kill somebody, and you think you could get away with it
by
throwing, you know, the smoke screen out there.
That's true. Like,
I couldn't have killed that person because I was robbing that bank.
This is where it gets even weirder and so not believable to me.
This whole story's been weird so far.
Just wait. De Leon said that the Hawks gave them access to their money because they were helping them to get a vacation home in Mexico. Yes. Come on. Are you serious?
That's your story and you're sticking to it? Give me a break.
We signed power of attorney over to you, a person we've never met in our entire lives when we're wicked close to our family, so that you can help us get a home in Mexico. Makes zero sense.
None.
So Jackie Hawks signed her name as Hawk with no S, and the police found that to be very strange. The Union Tribune reported that the Hawks Honda CRV was found in Ensenada, Mexico. Now that the police had the couple's car, they could start searching for DNA evidence. De Leon claimed they had never been in the couple's car. The authorities hoped that the samples gathered from the car would show that that was a lie, and De Leon was in the car. Around the same time that the car was found Investigators found out that DeLeon asked their parole officer if they could leave the country for work. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
It's so weird.
What a quinky dink.
Hmm. It was clear to the police that they needed to arrest DeLeon because they were sure they were the mastermind behind the Hawks' disappearance. After DeLeon's initial police interview, they disappeared, but came back in March of 2005. Alonzo Marchain, remember that one, the name that supposedly was there as well, took off to Mexico when all the information started coming out. So he got scared and was like, peace leaving
out.
The country.
See, you wouldn't want to be a...
Exactly, because he had found out that DeLeon threw his name out there.
DeLeon is a...
freaking douchebag.
Totally.
I got to leave the country.
Police, though, were able to lure Alonzo back by taking the death penalty off the table so he would start talking. That was pretty smart, right?
Yeah.
They're like, we know you were involved, but if you come back and you tell us what really happened, then you're going to have a way less sentence than you could possibly, you could, if you get sentenced, you could go to freaking death penalty. So this is better. Police were sure that DeLeon was the mastermind and needed to be arrested. They must have gotten a tip that they were back in the area. So they went back to DeLeon's home in Long Beach where they lived with their wife and children and Jennifer's parents. So they lived, you know, couldn't support themselves. So they lived with the parents, whatever. They knew if nothing else, they could make an arrest for money laundering because right out of that person's own mouth said that that's what they wanted the boat for. Remember, DeLeon confessed to it in the initial interview. He did. He said, it was for, I was going to launder some money. I know that's illegal, but I was going to do it.
Yep.
I have a question. Why didn't the police just arrest them then during the interview?
Because speculation
is
true. One thing.
That's true.
And proof is another. Or, as one of my favorite movies says, it's not what you know. It's what you can prove in court.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I always throw my Ellie Knight at the end.
The police were able to arrest DeLeon this time and had a warrant to search the home. Want to know what they found?
I do. I actually really do.
Personal papers belonging to the Hawks, their IDs, a laptop, and videos belonging to them. Why would someone have held on to all of these personal effects?
That's odd. Trophies, maybe?
It's just weird, right? Like, wouldn't you want to get rid of everything?
I would. I mean, I'm not a...
Murdering criminal,
but like, I would definitely try to distance myself from anything.
Right. I mean, that's pretty damning evidence. After finding the Hawks' personal belongings at DeLeon's home, police knew there was probably no chance that the couple would ever be found alive. That's so sad. The DNA came back from the Hawks' car. And guess what?
Guess what, Mark? It wasn't their DNA. This guy was innocent.
DeLeon's DNA was all over it.
Oh, or that way, too. You go that way, I guess.
Well, it sounds like the police had a smoking gun, right?
It sounds it.
You'd think so. But the problem was there were no bodies, and it's very hard to build a murder case without bodies.
Yes.
Which is extremely sad because these people deserve all the justice in the world. When police interviewed Jennifer, DeLeon's wife, she was adamant that she saw Tom and Jackie Hawks sign a document that stated DeLeon could be their power of attorney, which I said earlier makes zero freaking sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like this really nice, loving couple would let a stranger be their power of attorney.
It's so odd.
It's completely zero believability in that. I'm sorry. Finally.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall when they were trying to come up with these ideas in the head. Oh, great. Just going to say power of attorney.
Exactly.
They'll just let us go.
They'll be like, you know what? They won't even care that we have no connection to the couple before this whole boat thing.
Yeah. Laundering money. What?
Exactly. Let's just tell them that it was because we were being so nice to help them find a home in Mexico. So of course they gave us power of attorney.
Yeah, 100%.
Finally, Jennifer came clean, saying she never witnessed any signing of any documents. She said she saw money signs. So when DeLeon asked her to augment the documents, she did so, hoping to get a hefty payout. So she could have cared less about this couple. Like, people like this
are scumbags.
That's not even There's a word I want to say.
She's shaking.
There's a word I want to say.
Freaking douchebag.
That, but there's a word I would like to say about this woman that you should never, ever call a woman.
Oh, I love this word.
But
though.
It's the word that we used to use quite a bit, and then we even had a song for it on
another show
way back when. But
yes.
I'm just going to calm myself and continue on. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I can't say it. Yep. That is a good song.
We
though.
Cannot say it on here because it is a horrible word. But there are such instances where I believe a woman should be called that word. But anyways, my opinion, guys, don't come for me.
I'm not giving an opinion on this one. This is one of those where your wife says, does my butt look fat in this? Just walk away.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Just
no,
walk
you
away.
No, because then they'll say, "What? So we didn't say anything. So does it?
No, because I've also in the past said, no, not at all. And be like, you're just saying that. You can't win that conversation.
Guys, Sophie has entered the room and she looks like she is so excited. And she's just stand still waiting for daddy to yell at her to get out. It's so funny. Oh, my God.
I don't mind when she comes over here.
She's like in the wild.
I mind when she goes into the closet and then jumps up in there. That drives me nuts.
Oh, my God. Her little flat face is so cute.
She had a pain in the butt.
Okay, sorry. Let's get... I don't know how people keep up with us sometimes with the way we divert in the middle of our stories. I apologize, guys.
Because that's how people's minds work, too, that listen to the show.
Sorry, I keep having to it's allergy
clear
season.
Her throat.
Let me clear my throat. Sorry. I do just want to take a minute to state that DeLeon was only 25 years old at the time of the incident, and Jennifer was only 23 years old at the time of the incident. Both of them having their whole lives ahead of them. So, look, think of all the lives ruined by these stupid acts, right?
Yeah.
Let's get back to a Mr. Alonzo Marchain.
Look at this thing.
Oh.
He's curled out over my arm.
Oh, my God. She's going to have to be in here every time we record now.
Look at this. She's upside down.
She's totally upside down, guys. And she's adorable. Now that Alonzo was back and the death penalty was off the table, he agreed to talk to the police. Here is what he confessed. Are you ready?
I am.
He said he was there with DeLeon through the entire ordeal. He said DeLeon convinced the Hawks to take the yacht out. I'm wondering if there were like weapons involved or if he was just like, I need a test drive, right?
Yeah.
Because if you are going to buy, what was it, $750,000?
I would want to take it for a drive too.
Right, of course. He said he also saw DeLeon forcing the Hawks to sign the legal documents. After the document, there had to have been weapons.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Something was up.
Because this dude, like, if you saw a picture of this dude was jacked. Like, he could take care of himself. That's all I'm going to say. After the documents were signed, the couple were tied to an anchor and thrown overboard.
Ooh.
I know. That's an awful way to die.
Were they alive when they went over?
It sounds like it.
Oh.
I don't know. This is his account. So
this is horrible.
Alonzo wasn't the only quote unquote friend of DeLeon's on the boat that day. There was another friend happened to be on there as well. And this friend was a Long Beach gang member named John Kennedy. He was there to help as well, Mark.
Huh. Just what you need is a gang member.
Yeah. Remember, Tom Hawks was a bodybuilder and he was very strong, like I said.
Yep.
DeLeon told the Hawks that John was a business partner. Remember at the initial meeting, Jennifer was there as the pregnant wife and they had their first child with them as well. So things must have seemed okay, you know? So that's why this actually went through. They probably like, okay, he's got his business partner with him. And maybe they were dressed really nice. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
This couple, this isn't going to be, they did say they felt weird about it, but like once, I want to introduce you to my wife and my little child and we have one on the way. It does soften the blow. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, 100%.
It does.
It brings your guard down to them.
So let's talk about all the key players, okay?
Yep. Let's get them.
That were all part of this horrible act. Jennifer Lynn Henderson, wife of DeLeon at the time, the ringleader, John Kennedy, Myron Sandora Cardner, another former gang member. In fact, he was the one that introduced DeLeon to Kennedy. So he played a small part in the killings. Let's find out what happened to everyone now that we are sure of what happened. on November 17th, 2006, Jennifer Henderson was found guilty on two counts of first-degree murder. Good. On October 2007, she was sentenced to 12 life terms without parole. Good. Never going to see your kids. Don't feel bad. Don't care. Don't be a douche.
Yep.
Don't be a douche. She is spending her time at Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla, California. On She is meowing like crazy right now.
Yeah.
On February 19th, 2009, John Kennedy was found guilty of two counts of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to death May
1st, 2009. Freaking douchebag.
Yep. That's the one for this episode, let me tell you. Alonzo Machain took a deal and testified against DeLeon and Henderson in Kennedy. He pleaded guilty of two counts of voluntary manslaughter, kidnapping, and robbery. June 15th, 2009, he was sentenced to 20 years and 4 months in jail. He's hanging out at Valley State Prison in Chowchilla, California. Myron Cardner pleaded...
Betty wasn't hanging somewhere.
I know. Well, the only...
I love these guys.
Send them in. Myron Cardner pleaded guilty to accessory after the fact in March of 2009. The murder charges against him were dropped, though. So he was the guy who introduced the guy. He was the former gang member that introduced his friend, the gang member. He was like, I'm not going to do it with you, but I got a guy who will. So he kind of helped orchestrate things.
Still equally guilty.
I don't know. They dropped it. I know. What about DeLeon? Let's start talking about what DeLeon was doing in jail while they were waiting for their trial to begin. DeLeon decided it would be a great idea to ask a fellow inmate to murder their cousin and father. DeLeon was accused of killing a man named John Jaron in Anaheim, California. His body was found in Mexico in 2003. DeLeon's father and cousin were accessories to the murder, hence why DeLeon wanted them dead. So he still hadn't been tried for this murder. So he wanted to kill his own father and his own cousin who helped him, and they probably took a deal to go against DeLeon. And so now he's like, let me just take him out. All right. So this is all while he's waiting for the other murder trials.
Yep.
He must have figured if his cousin and father were dead, they couldn't be tried. Oh, my God. Here is another twist that took place while DeLeon was in jail awaiting his trial, and it also explains the name change.
Oh, boy.
Mark, you might want to cross your legs.
I don't know if I want to.
On March 13th, 2008, DeLeon severed their penis with a razor blade.
Who hasn't done that?
Oh, my God. Ouch. I don't even have one. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You, sir, are a douchebag.
Yes. Anyways, DeLeon was sent to the hospital when this took place, but were returned the very next day to jail. I guess doctors were able to reattach the peepee because during an interview with 2020, DeLeon said they tried to cut their penis off because they wanted to be a woman. This played into DeLeon's defense, which I don't like. It was said that the Hawks murder was an attempt for DeLeon to get enough money for a sex change. In September of 2008, DeLeon's trial was amping up to start. Interestingly enough, DeLeon was tried for the Hawks murder and John Jaron all in one trial. And I like that. Let's save some money trying these losers. In another twist, DeLeon's lawyer told the jury that her client did indeed commit all the murders they were being tried for. She said she took the case not to clear DeLeon's name because it was clear that DeLeon was the murderer, but to get the death penalty off the table. So she must have been somebody who was fully against the death penalty and wanted to be there to get them off the death penalty.
I don't understand.
It's very interesting if you ask me.
It is interesting.
Like a lawyer who took a case knowing for sure that their client was guilty of what they did, but just wanted to keep them from dying. Why?
I never understand that, because who wants to stay in jail for the rest of your life? Like, that sounds equally worse.
Right. Well, maybe they thought they could get out. I don't know.
I don't get it.
On October 20th, DeLeon was convicted of all the murders. Sentencing, although, kept getting pushed out and rescheduled. Finally, on April 10th, 2009, DeLeon was sentenced to death by Orange County Superior Court Judge Frank Fassell. The process of death would be by lethal injection.
Dun, dun, dun.
California has made some changes with the death penalty along the way. And because of this, the death penalty was taken off the table for DeLeon. And Instead, they would spend the rest of their days on death row. So until the time of death, hanging out on death row, which death row is probably a worse place to be in jail, right? Instead of general pop.
General death row is awesome.
Yeah, but aren't they like more in solitary and stuff?
Kind of, but
I don't know enough.
I don't think you're going to get shanked or beat up as easy on death row.
Guys,
as you
Mark
are on
said
regular.
One of my favorite words. Shanked.
Guys.
Shanked in the clink. That's like my favorite sentence. Don't get shanked in the clink.
Don't get shanked in the clink.
And don't get toe shanked, guys. We've talked about this before.
Oh my God.
Sometimes if your toenails are too sharp, you're laying in bed, you could slice your significant other. You got to be really careful about that.
Yeah, 100%.
You can go to jail for that.
I stabbed myself.
Right, me too. You got to be careful. It hurts. In 2019, DeLeon changed their name to Skylar and their gender to female. Skylar receives hormone therapy while incarcerated. If anyone is interested, there is an article online by ABC News called Yacht Murderer Wanted Sexual Reassignment Surgery. In the article, Skylar talks about how she knew she was always wanted to be gender reassignment. And her wife, Jennifer, at the time of the Hawks murders, agreed to it and agreed to support her. It talks all about this being the reason for the murders. I'm not going to read it, any of it, because I would rather you ask to remember the lives lost, because Skylar is still living and living the person that they want to be.
Yep.
Which I don't care how you want to live your life. I just don't think it's fair
that you get to go on. To do it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right. There were so many other avenues this person could have done to transition in this way. There was no reason to kill a couple that was loved by so many people or kill anyone. This is just such a senseless reason to me.
It's dumb.
So anyways, like I said, this is such a senseless murder. She deserves no more airtime. So bye-bye, Skylar. We're not talking about you
anymore. Let's give her last one.
Oh my God. What a douchebag.
Yep.
Moving on.
I concur 100% with that one. This next bit of information comes from the San Diego Union Tribune. Ryan Hawks, Thomas's son, shared some thoughts with the publication. He had this to say: I can't imagine what their last moments, their thoughts were before they died. They are 3,600 feet below the cold Pacific Ocean, bound together, handcuffed and weighted down. The water was their life. They'd been preparing to retire on a yacht since as long as I can remember. Ryan went on to say they lived an amazing life. They lived more in 1 year than most couples do in 10. This story is really a sad one, as they all are. These two people worked their butts off, loved their family, were so close to their family and friends, and were so excited for the next chapter of their lives with their grandchildren. I feel like Skylar saying she needed the money for a sex change was just another excuse made by a murderer. There are so many other avenues, like I just said, she could have gone through to get what she needed, just like so many others in this world. These two lovely people lost their lives for no reason in such a tragic way. For this person to end up in jail anyways. So the end result is, yes, I don't know if she got the full sex change, but she does live as a woman, is on hormones, but is in jail and not out to enjoy life in her authentic self. So nobody won in this situation.
Not at all.
There's two people that are dead for absolutely no reason and many lives ruined. And it's the same thing I feel after all of these senseless, horrific cases.
Yeah, 100%. It's dumb.
It's so dumb. It is so dumb.
Did this person honestly think that they would get away with this with all the loose ends they left? Like, come on.
Well, and here's the thing. If Skylar had taken... So if Skylar had sold the yacht that she bought from this couple, the Hawks, and got themselves $750,000, okay?
Yep.
And all of a sudden had a sex change done, you don't think anyone wouldn't be a red flag to anybody?
I know, right?
Like, how the stupidity of these people is what really gets me.
It's dumb.
It is so dumb. So dumb. So... that's another one in the books for you guys.
Well, I'd like to hear the creeps' thoughts on this. Reach out to us on social media, Case Watch Crime Creep Group on Facebook, 603-212-4600. Leave yourself a nice little
douchebag.
I want to thank Melissa for sending this idea for this case to me. And if anybody, we really need some more reviews, guys. So I think maybe you should just walk up to random strangers who have iPhones, you know, because for some reason, Apple reviews that are nice give us the algorithm that we need. And yeah, just say, hey, friend on the subway.
Hey, friendo.
Can I borrow your phone for a second? I just got to go and just leave a review for a podcast that I like. That would be really nice. And I know you guys have left them in other places too. We see 100%. All of those too, but for some reason, Apple is the one, and people don't like to listen on Apple, which is the worst part because that's the one that helps the algorithm the most. So I don't get it.
People aren't going to have much of a choice much longer. A lot of the podcasting platforms are shutting down.
I know. So why? What's going on, guys? It's getting really hard in the podcasting community right now.
Because people go exclusive on networks. It makes it harder.
Yep.
And honestly, we can speak to this 100%. The ad revenue after COVID
has been horrible.
Took a kick in the nards. So
I love that, nards.
Yeah, like it's reverse inflation. So I'm going to use fake made up numbers where you used to make like $100, now you make $1.
Right.
Like there's no money.
I mean, it's definitely a thing. I mean, I listen to a lot.
If you haven't noticed, we've kind of cut a lot of the ads out. We don't even bother with them for the most part anymore.
Yep.
Once in a while, we throw some in every once in a while, but that's about it. We want to just do this for you guys. It's never really been about ads or money or any of that stuff.
It's because we enjoy ourselves.
We do. And it's always fun. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.